You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey folks, Brian Nichols here from The Brian Nichols Show. Are you tired of partisan politics? Do you want to hear the news without that media narrative? Do you want to be more well-rounded as a person? Or how about this? Do you want to get to know and learn from noted entrepreneurs, elected officials, C-level executives, economists, and more? Well, how about this? Look no further. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show. Again, I'm your host, Brian Nichols. Go ahead and learn more at briannicholsshow.com.
Okay, so hear me out. You like getting cash back for the normal stuff you buy throughout your week, right? Of course you do. Check out the Dosh app. That's D-O-S-H, Dosh. Dosh is available at the App Store and Google Play Store and securely connects to your credit or debit card. From there, every time you use those cards, Dosh searches for available offers. Once it finds one, Dosh automatically redeems the offer and converts it into cold, hard cash. Muchos dineros, brother. Then deposits that directly into your Dosh wallet. Click the link to download and join Dosh today and get $5 just for joining. This link is exclusively in the show notes of this episode. So, show notes, special link, Dosh, $5 cash. Start on the path to quick and easy cash back on the things you love today.
Hey everybody, check out the Break the Bell podcast, where we believe your voice is your most powerful weapon. For a weekly dose of our take on what's going on in the world, mixed with a side of history. Find us wherever podcasts are found or on social media handle at Break the Bell Pod. And most importantly, never stop talking.
Prepare yourself. You're on the run with Remzo W. Martinez.
2020 has been an odd year. I think that's the one thing that we can certainly all agree on. But, you know, the election is over. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We've got Christmas coming up. We've got Hanukkah coming up. We've got everything coming up. We've got Festivus coming up. But there's one tradition here that I think we're going to start annually, and it's going to be called the Festival of Cage. And yes, I'm talking about Nick Cage. And brought to you by popular demand, we've brought the degenerate panel back to discuss the best and worst of America's, dare I say, the world's greatest actor? We'll decide this. As always, I brought back the degenerate panel. We have one quarter Persian Zed. Zed, what are you smoking tonight?
As again, RJ. So our cigar of the day is an Avo Fogota.
Avo Fogota.
Yeah, it's a full body cigar. It goes great with coffee, I hear. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Alrighty. And at the producer desk tonight, we have the best producer, the only producer, the one man that actually is going to keep the boat going today. We've got Dr. Death himself, Derek. Derek, what is happening?
Not much, RJ. Just happy to be here. Happy to be doing a degenerate theater on one of the best actors of all time. Look forward to the rest of the podcast.
And he was gone for Halloween, but we brought him back for probably one of the scariest experiences of his viewing duties, Sean of the Military Industrial Complex. Sean, how are you doing?
Just surviving, recovering from my accident I had last podcast. So, just
we don't talk about that. But your butthole is working, correct?
It is working, and you know what? I'm just glad to still have it after that.
We don't need to get into more details. Just understand that Sean has a functioning anus, and that's all you need to know. And tonight, we have an additional panelist joining the degenerate panel. We have Sean of the Damned. Sean Mullen, how are you doing tonight? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you know, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm just happy to be here.
Sean, before we start, Yes. You hear many words in life, and many thoughts can come to your mind. But when you hear Nick Cage as our special guest, what does Nick Cage elicit in your soul?
Nick Cage just, it's life, you know? Just life. You know, I wanna say a quote from him. Okay? You ready for this?
Bring it. I'm so emotionally ready. On a spiritual level, I am ready.
To show how awesome Nick Cage is, Nick Cage once said, "To be a good actor, you have to be something like a criminal. To be willing to break the rules, to strive for something new." Isn't that just awesome?
Okay, this is a serious question, and all of you can jump in before we actually start watching these clips. Is Nick Cage a really good bad actor or a really bad good actor?
A good bad actor, I believe. Because he jumps into his roles and fully embraces them. And even in the bad movies that we will be talking about here, he's the highlight of it. The movie around him might be terrible, but his acting as a whole is usually very good, and he's very good about, you know, diving into the character and becoming that character.
Yeah. If anyone has ever accused Nick Cage of something, it's definitely not taking a role too seriously.
You know, when I watch Nick Cage movies, I've seen a bunch of them. And with Nick Cage, it depends on his opportunity. If he gets a really good script and a really good plot and story and character, he is really good in those roles. But the roles where he has to do them just because he's forced to, it looks like he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, he just vents his frustrations out on stage.
Why is it like, I feel like National Treasure 2 was like the last time anyone looked at Nick Cage and really took him seriously, because after that, basically, I think it was his manager basically stole like all his money from him, and then he wasn't filing his taxes, so Nick Cage was like tens of millions of dollars in debt, and because of that he had to do just a flurry of extremely shitty films that, and I'm pretty sure he's an Academy Award winning actor, you wouldn't think that this guy would have to do them.
He also didn't just owe, like, he really, like, squandered his, like, fortune. Like, I mean, he spent a crap ton on, like, real estate and all these other things, even before owing money.
So it was his doing on top of what happened to him then.
Like, partially, like, part of what happened to him really wasn't totally his fault. He really did trust, like, the wrong person. But he owned, like, I think around, like, a dozen or so residences.
And, like, what, they just weren't generating income?
Well, I mean, no, they were just, like, he had, like, a $25 million waterfront home in Newport Beach, $15 million countryside estate in Newport. He had another place in Rhode Island, a place in Las Vegas.
So Nick Cage was spending that Nick Cage money, and he obviously was not doing anything smart with it. Like, I mean, is he out of debt at this point?
I think so. I'm not sure. Like, you know, have you heard of the infamous, I think it's the Lori Mansion in New Orleans?
Is it haunted?
I think so. He used to own that.
That literally does not surprise me.
And he had places in Europe apparently too.
Wow. Okay. I feel less bad for Nick Cage. But speaking of feeling bad for Nick Cage, what the degenerate panel has done tonight, humble listeners, is they've collected a series of clips from a really good Nick Cage movie that they like, or at least a film that they like, and then just a film that they thought was bad, or, you know, Nick Cage not hit his best. And this will give us an idea of who we're really looking at. Call this a montage, a portrait, a collaboration to understand the fragmented mind that is America's love child and Canada's secret lover, Nicolas Cage. Who do we have up first?
So the first thing we have up is kind of just, I believe we have talked about Between Worlds before on different podcasts, but the scene that we're about to play here really just describes what this podcast is going to be about. And wow,
oh, damn, we're looking at Between Worlds again. The last time we looked at him, we looked at the infamous truck stop scene where he's like, "Here's my family. You like them?" As he shows a photo to this random German lady, and as she's like, "Oh, they're so adorable." He's like, "Oops, they're dead.
What the hell does that have to do being strangled?"
That this film, we watched it a couple of months ago, and like, there's a lot of shit in this, and I can't call it a horror movie or like a B-rated sci-fi film. It's like they were just making shit as the, making shit up as they went along.
Yeah. So like basically, if I mean, do we want to go over synopsis real quick?
Yeah, give it a quick snapshot for people that didn't listen to that episode.
All right. So basically, Between Worlds is about Nick Cage, who's a truck driver, who meets this German lady. Well, she's not German in the movie, but she's played by a German actress, who is getting choked in a truck stop bathroom. He tries saving her, and she's like, "No, why were you saving me? I wanted to get choked out." Turns out that this woman has the power to actually go out of her body when she's near death and take souls from the void and put them in people's bodies. And she was doing that because her daughter got into a car accident and was dying in the hospital. And so she's trying to basically go into the void and grab a soul to save her. But what happens is, yeah, she accidentally takes Nick Cage's dead wife's soul, because that's the closest soul floating around, and put it in her 18-year-old daughter's body. And now, basically, Nick Cage is the hots for this 18-year-old who's technically his wife.
But he's also screwing the mom.
And then the mom's jealous. Like, "Oh, I thought you loved me. Why are you screwing my daughter?" It's like, well, you shouldn't have made your daughter my wife.
It's so
just a sentence.
And you're not as flexible as this 18-year-old.
God, that's just a sentence you don't want to hear. Doyle, have you seen this film?
Yes, I've seen this several times. I actually...
You saw it more than once willingly?
Oh my God.
Hey, one, I saw it with one of my exes, and the reason why she's one of my exes, because of that.
Did she ask you to choke her like Nick Cage after this? Uh-oh. What's that silence?
So the second
time...
I'm
the only one that hasn't seen this film.
Oh, it's one of his shitty tier movie masterpieces.
Yeah, so the clip that I'm about to play is basically just it's an example of the Nick Cage breakdown. And I think a lot of Nick Cage movies have this. I thought this was a prime example, so I wanted to play it for
Let's
the podcast.
Let's do it.
All right.
Bum, bum. But we can't, all right, Billy?
What the fuck do you do?
Oh, pause it. Okay, so this is the end of the film. Basically, the wife's spear has been taken out of the daughter, and right before that, she shot the mother, and the ex-boyfriend is there, and Nick Cage is also losing his shit. So this is right at the end.
Yeah, he finds out that his wife, his dead wife, actually killed his daughter, because what happened was she was like, "Oh, Nick Cage, since you're a trucker, you never spend any time with me because you're always on the road, so I'm just going to kill my daughter." And then she killed his daughter and then fell asleep on the sofa with a cigarette in her mouth, and the whole house caught fire and she died as well.
God, women are so needy. Go ahead and play.
My folks are always putting him down. They said he came from the wrong side of town.
What do you mean when you say that he came from the wrong side of town?
They told me he was bad. I knew he was bad. That's what I felt for the leader of the pack.
Pause it. He should like die just for wearing leather pants.
He's currently
is that
covering
leather
himself.
That's
with
leather pants.
I thought those were jeans, but okay.
No, they are leather pants. You see when he's crawling, he's wearing leather pants. How
Nick?
No,
this is no. You aren't an actor in the 90s anymore, dude.
This film came out in 2018. This
I thought
like
they were black jeans for a second.
This is like some Nickelback shit.
Wait,
this is why his wife burned down the house.
Wait, but for real though, on like a side note, who just decides one day in the morning casually, you know what? I'm gonna wear leather pants for the day. Happening.
It's uncomfortable during like warm weather. It's uncomfortable during cold weather. I don't think there's ever a comfortable time for that.
It probably
it's just like, wear some jeans if you want some long pants.
It probably wasn't his choice. It was probably, you know, like the director or writer or whatever. It's like, we're going to wear leather pants in this scene because reasons.
I've seen Doyle wear jeans like twice in his life. He only ever wears shorts during like all seasons. Doyle,
it's true.
Do you own a pair of leather pants that we all happen to know about?
I do not own a pair of leather pants, period.
That's
all right.
That's a trick question. He owns chaps.
Well, see, in this scene
what Sean does in behind his own, you know, in his own home is his own business.
No, I had leather pants until my accident.
Oh yeah, we don't talk about that now.
Gotcha. I was saying, in this scene right here, for the audio listeners, Nick Cage is actually dousing himself with gasoline, and he's about to light a cigarette because he found out that his wife killed his daughter.
Okay, let's watch the rest.
The breakdown.
One day my dad said find someone new.
So metal.
I had to tell my Jimmy
with me. Guy
find somebody new.
So that's that.
Yep. I feel like they spent all their like special effects funding on that one scene.
Okay, for someone who hasn't seen this film, I will say that was metal as fuck. Damn.
So that's a classic example of the Nicolas Cage breakdown. A lot of Nick Cage movies have this, where he just kind of goes insane and does something crazy. Like to the point, you know, like where he's setting himself on fire or just screaming or whatever.
Whatever works.
You know, I feel like I should be offended, like as a man, for seeing him wear leather pants. But if he's going to do it and then set himself on fire, it almost seems like he's compensating for it. So
maybe he set himself on fire because he was wearing leather pants.
Maybe. Okay, what's the next clip?
The Wicker Man.
Okay, I gotta be honest. I have only seen the last half of this movie.
I only know this movie due to the bees. That's about it.
Yeah, there's only one scene that matters, and it's, you know, the last scene.
Mullen, go ahead and give a synopsis of The Wicker Man.
All right, please.
Oh, you want me, or is that you want Doyle to do that? Because I think Doyle selected that.
Doyle, you're muted.
Unmute yourself.
No, I didn't choose that one.
Okay. Zed, somebody chose this.
All right. I didn't choose it.
All right. Okay. Well, Who has seen the movie?
I will give a synopsis of the Wicker Man. Hold on.
Give us the Reader's Digest version or Wikipedia.
I'm totally not.
Has no one actually seen the whole film?
I saw this like 9 years ago. Okay. That was the last time I watched it.
And you watched it from the beginning to the end.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Okay, so that makes one.
Well, I guess I know we're watching it later.
Oh, man.
Okay.
You have to buy this on Prime or rent it, and it's like I don't want to pay to watch a Nick Cage film.
No, 1, 2, 3.
I feel like Nick Cage is like a public, like a public resource,
like a library.
Like you should just be able to watch him whenever you want,
just check him out with your library card.
Okay, so I can kind of give a brief synopsis of this film right now if you'd like.
Do it.
Okay. So a policeman played by Nick Cage, bless you Cameron, received basically news from his ex-fiance that her daughter is missing. So he's just like, well shit, I better travel to this random ass island off the coast of Washington State where a group of neo-pagans lives. This is not a bad idea.
Wait, is it his daughter?
I don't even think it's his daughter. It's his ex-fiance.
Why would you go look?
It's what he does. It's a
mystery. I feel like he can ignore that.
It's a very Nick Cage thing to do.
And she's not my kid, but I feel like she is.
And so, like, he's basically on this island trying to find out where the heck this, like, girl is. Like, she's just gone. He has no idea. So he's asking the villagers. All this strange crap is happening. He sees some suspicious crap. Eventually, like it turns out he's just being used as a sacrifice for the Wicker Man. Oh. And like it's actually like is this here? It's really disturbing because he's surrounded and he does try to like he pulls out a gun. I'm like, all right, good, he's got this. And when he pulls the trigger, it just clicks and nothing happens. And his ex-fiance has the rounds in his inner hand. And, like, they do some awful shit to him, like, in the end. Like, the end scene is, like, I think the only good part of the film, not because
this is the only thing I feel people know about this movie.
No, yeah.
It really is. I need to watch it with you guys, obviously.
Like, we need to watch it from the beginning.
Yes, so like we understand the whole context. Anyway.
Okay, before we see this, how would you classify this, Zed? A good Nick Cage scene or a bad Nick Cage scene?
This is a good Nick Cage overacting scene.
Okay, Doyle, what do you think?
I would say the same. I think it really brings out like the good qualities of Nick Cage.
And let's go ahead and see what these good qualities are. Derek, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If 2020 was one scene, I think it's going to be this.
I got to warn you, though. If from what I remember, like, you're about to hear and see something awful happen to him before even, like, the B thing happens.
Oh, and folks, unless YouTube takes down this video version for copyright reasons, hopefully you will be able to watch this on the We Are Libertarians Patreon. Join at the most basic level, and you'll get to see the video portion of this as long as YouTube doesn't act like a bitch and take it down again. Okay, go ahead.
And you're doing it for nothing! Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey!
But I know it will.
Pause it. No matter how many times I witness them break his leg, I will never not feel like I'm about to throw up. Oh, Doyle, who was that football player who got his leg snapped?
Oh, it hurt like hell.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. Zed, have you ever seen that movie? It's about the white nice lady who adopts the black kid, and then they force him to play football. The Blind Side.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's the beginning of the film where she's talking about that play, and she's like, look, this man's leg's about to burst.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
The moral of the story, get shacked up with an older, rich white woman. Things will work out. Okay, speaking of white women, let's watch them kill Nick Cage. Is obviously CGI, right?
Yeah.
It kind of feels.
This
bad
isn't
for
Candyman.
I mean, yeah. No, it's actually real bees, and Nick Cage is
dead.
I mean,
he's dead.
I feel like he would opt for that if given the option.
It wouldn't be the first time that a crap ton of bees that would be used in a film, like actual bees.
What's another example?
Candyman. The horror film from the 90s.
Oh, really?
And everything. Those are real bees that they had all over them.
Oh, I just started flinching. Okay, I don't want to think about that. Play the clip.
But
this time. I must keep you alive.
Why is that funny?
Because that's us looking at 2020 right now. We see 2020, like all we see right. That's 2021, and that's us in 2020. We're like, no, it's not ending. Oh God.
December 32nd.
Oh my God. No. Not gonna lie. When watching that scene, I actually felt bad for Nick Cage's character.
No, like, no. It's awful. Like, getting your legs just broken by, like, a wooden mallet of that, then just getting stung all over your face, and then them going just like, no, we need you alive. Here's your little injection.
Don't you think it's kind of ironic that we're making fun of this as, like, the clip that describes 2020, yet they're all also wearing masks?
I Fuck. Mean, this
was, it was a film ahead of its time.
Well, maybe Hollywood was trying to tell us something.
Is this pagan cult? Antifa?
I mean, what's his story? This is actually a remake.
The original one was at least, it was from the 70s or something like that.
Yeah, it was, 1973.
Who was in that?
It actually has a good rating too compared to this one.
Who was in that one? Who played? Who was the Cage's character?
Oh my God, Christopher Lee was in that film, I think.
Wow, Count Dooku?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's weird? A young Christopher Lee, like when he was Scaramanga in The Man with the Golden Gun, he kind of looks like Nick Cage in his 30s.
Yeah, they can see it.
They kind of look alike because they've got the same face structure and their hair is always, like it's kind of recessed, but it's slipped back. So it looks like it's still full.
Yeah, I guess like in him and Man of the Golden Gun, I guess he could like pass for his like dad or something.
You know, if you told me that, I would. If you told me they were related, I would probably just say I buy it. But yeah, Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey Doyle, would you ever go back for one of your ex's kids if you were a cop?
Really, it really depends who it is.
How the fuck does it depend?
It doesn't depend. There's like literally, there's a way for this all to work. You file a missing persons report and all this other crap. Like you.
Yeah, do what other
one man job.
Do what other cops do and pass it to somebody else.
Exactly.
That's the story of the FBI since 2016, but we're not going to get into politics. Okay, Doyle, this was at your request, National Treasure.
Yes.
I feel like, and Zed, let me know what you think of this. I feel like National Treasure 2 was probably the last film where people looked at a Nick Cage film and genuinely said, I think I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you know, I think Nick Cage as an actor, I think universally people would say his best work would be National Treasure as a whole, that movie series. And I think you were saying that National Treasure 2 is like the last movie before his agent stole all his money and where he's forced to do the shitty movies.
Yeah. National Treasure is still probably one of my favorite films because I feel like it checks all the blocks for me. It's got enough comedy to be lighthearted. It's got genuine action scenes. It's a globetrotting adventure film. It's got some real history throughout it, too. Obviously, a lot of it's fiction, but it's got some real history to it, too. And it doesn't just have Nicolas Cage. It's got a lot of really good actors in it. And, number two was good. I mean, it didn't do for me what number one did, but I mean, it's the problem of sequels. It's you have to jump such a high bar. I'm upset that they have not done a third film because number two, which we'll see a clip from that after this, number two shows a really good example of them trying to plant seeds to complete the trilogy. but it's been almost 12 years now. There were talks of a show.
Now. Yeah, I don't think...
Would it have had Nick Cage in it, or would it have just been like National Treasure or somebody else?
No, I think there was rumors that initially they were going to do a Nicolas Cage-led National Treasure show on Disney+.
I would watch that.
That would be amazing.
I would watch that.
I watch that so fast.
I think Nick Cage, if you're listening. Disney, we beg of you. We will sacrifice somebody to the Wicker Mickey if you want.
Wicker Mickey.
It does appear that it is in the works.
Imagine this, but just Mickey Mouse.
Play the last like 10 seconds of the...
Oh, God.
It's 2020.
Okay, let's...
Mickey Mouse laugh.
Okay, let's see the scene.
You know, that really is a nice collection. Must have taken you a long time to hunt down all that history.
If it's any consolation, you had me convinced.
It's not.
I was thinking, what if we go public, plaster this story all over the internet? It's not like we have our reputations to worry about. Although, I don't think that's exactly going to scare Ian away.
180 years of searching, and I'm 3 feet away. Of all the words written here about freedom, there's a line that's at the heart of all the others. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. People don't talk that way anymore.
Beautiful. Huh. No idea what you said.
It means if there's something wrong, those who have the ability to take action have the responsibility to take action. I'm gonna steal it.
What?
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
There it is.
Actually, 3 points. One, I think that's actually one of his best monologues ever.
Yes, yes. Great. This is the Nick Cage I miss and I want back.
He's great. It's amazing.
Yeah,
he's really great at giving monologues.
My second point, that specific scene gives me like a freedom erection.
Yes.
Every time. Everyone is standing tall.
That's amazing. For that.
And right, three,
if you looked at the video while he was reading it, everyone in the chat were just like looking like, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The third one in, I think it was 2018, 2019, Zed, Derek, and Doyle and I went to the National Archives for a day. We were just jumping around DC because we were bored.
Oh, God.
BP, before the plague. And we went to the National Archives to go see the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. And we walked in. We were cracking jokes like, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. And I went over to one of the guards and I asked him, hey, man, how often do people come around saying, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence? I shit you not. He said, one guard listening in started laughing and he said, every day. And then the guard I asked the question to just said, just stop talking and listen. And if you listen to the line of people going around and watching and looking at the documents, you hear like every other word is, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. Everybody was doing it. That movie is so ingrained in American culture. You will never, I don't think, I think, one, this is one of the films that 100 years from now people will still be pointing to for something, either as a good film or just as a meme. But that specific scene right there, I don't think is ever going to die.
Nicolas Cage is a national treasure.
He is.
He is a national treasure.
God bless.
And like you said, that was some of the – that right there, if that isn't proof that he isn't a great actor, I don't know what is.
I think this was also his highest grossing film. This was a Disney film. Yeah, National Treasure was a Disney franchise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was I'm pretty sure – I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this was the film that made him most of his money. because everyone like a lot of his films were never like family friendly. And if you want to make money, you've got to have enough stuff to bring the kids to the theaters. And this was the film that I think really did it for him.
Yeah.
Which is so sad because he's about to get fucked by his manager a few years later.
Yeah, that's why he made a sequel.
He's not about to get fucked. He was getting fucked behind closed doors.
Once you start getting that Disney money, people get greedy. Now, who wanted this scene from the sequel?
I think that was
I did.
That was Zed. Yeah.
Okay, Zed. What stands out about this one?
So, Nicolas Cage is great in National Treasure. One of his best works in acting, but. You know, they gave us a little fan service in the second one. For everyone who loves the crazy Nick Cage scenes, they gave us one. And he basically has a meltdown in Buckingham Palace.
This is, this was funny as a kid. But honestly, as I start to see this is what really becomes a staple for Cage. Because he's starting to be taken less as a serious actor. And now he's being taken as the dude that wears leather pants and screams and sets himself on fire and does stupid shit.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and play the clip.
Ben.
Abigail.
Abigail.
What's she doing here?
What are you doing here?
Your dad called me. Said your next clue was here.
But she's really there.
Look, Ben.
Drop her. Lose her.
I want to help.
Well, that's very nice, but it's kind of a bad time right now.
A bad time right now?
It's a bad time.
Okay, I just flew all the way to London to offer my help. And what, now you decided you just, you don't need it.
You're the one who's making a scene. Right
it's now. Always about I, them.
Scene right now.
No, we want to make a scene.
Well, then fine! That's what you want, then let's have it out right now.
Ah, so subtle.
Well, let me guess. It's the wrong time. It's the wrong place. I'm wrong again. Wrong about us. Wrong about Thomas Gates. Wrong that you'd like the Queen Anne chair.
You're wrong to assume I'd like the chair.
You see, everybody listen to this.
Pause it for a second. I think the one thing I can say about Nicolas Cage that I can't say about anyone other than like maybe Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen, Nick Cage is a very physical actor.
He is very physical.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I notice he really likes using his hands.
He's the Jack Sparrow of actors.
It's an Italian thing. Coppola. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah. He just has like major ADHD. I think it's a mix of both.
He thinks that even when I'm right, I'm wrong. Isn't that right, Abigail? Just because I answer a question quickly doesn't make it wrong.
Not if the right answer is something we need to figure out together as a couple. That's what couples do.
Chuck,
then
you and your missus take it outside.
Oh, now look what you've done. You brought the little bobbies down on us.
You take the missus outside. I'm staying right here.
Ben!
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Been drinking, have we?
Just a nip. Just pop down to the pub for a pint. Bit of all right. Going to arrest the man for that. Going to detain Elijah for enjoying his whiskey.
It's all right, that's enough, sir.
Beggars and mash.
Sir?
Bubbles and squeak.
What?
Smoke deal pie.
Sir?
Haggis! That's it. Dismount the banister. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are, standing in a row. Small ones, come big on. Ones. Stop as big as your head!
That was brilliant.
What's wrong?
Nothing. You should try it sometime, Ben.
Oh, so what are you saying? You're saying that I'm never right?
I did not say that.
So I'm wrong again.
Now see, there you are correct.
Oh, capital. Top
you know
pair.
What? Your mother told me about you. And always said I never play. You'll see.
Girl, it's a quiz.
In here, please. Step inside, madam.
Just make a list.
Because every time we go on the head,
say again.
We're not right.
What is right or wrong?
You two love birds, stay put, right?
Wow. You know, I watched that when I was probably 12, and I thought adult couples don't act like that. That's a really silly scene. But the older I got, and as I look back at this scene, not only do I realize that it's probably realistic, but like on a spiritual level, I understand.
I mean, it was a fake argument. They were doing it on purpose.
Yeah, but there was a lot of truth to that because they are broken up at the beginning of the film. And the points he's making are probably real, which he's trying to exaggerate because they need to get locked up in that part of Buckingham Palace because they have to steal, I forget, the queen or some shit. But yeah. This is one of those moments where it's like, he does this a lot, and he didn't do this in the first film. I felt like this was one of those parts where they're like, phone it in because we need some laughs.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Doyle, have you ever gotten to a screaming match with a woman?
Yes. And actually, it was all over a cat costume for Halloween. And yeah, it didn't go well.
Did you have to wear the cat costume?
Let's just say part of me wore the costume.
We don't need to know anymore. Go on to the next one. Derek, what do we have next?
Next we have... So this movie I kind of consider, like, it stars Nick Cage, but it's not all about him, if that makes sense.
When did I didn't see this one. Did this come out in theaters?
I believe so. It was in 2016.
I think this was straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was.
I feel like – I don't think that Nick Cage has actually been in a movie theater since, like – oh, what was that bad? It was like another one like this. Like they made you think he was in it, but he's only in it for like 5 minutes. Left Behind. That was the last time I think I saw Nicolas Cage in a movie that was actually in a theater.
The last two weird horror films he did were in theaters.
The
Mandy and Colors Out of Space were both actually in theaters.
What was the one? It's like where he's like a knight and he has to go kill a witch.
Season of the Witch.
Was that any good? Did you see that?
I've watched it. You know, it's okay. I'll be honest. Nick Cage doesn't fit very well in that film.
He's a very specific type of actor.
Ron Perlman was fit well, but they should have got. He was also in a film called Outcast with Hayden Christensen.
What?
Anakin?
Yeah. Like it was another like.
Oh God! When was the last time he was in a film?
Well, he retired from acting because of Star Wars money.
That's a good reason to retire.
I feel like that would be a whole nother episode.
Who has seen this one though? USS Indianapolis. Who watched this one?
Zed and I have.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically it's like I'm not sure how close to historical it is, but it's about the USS Indianapolis that transported like stuff for the
nukes,
atomic
specifically,
bomb
yeah.
in World War II. And so basically Nick Cage he's the commanding officer of the USS Indianapolis and he's tasked with that mission. So they successfully deliver the parts for the A-bomb and on their way back, their ship gets sunk by the Japanese and they're surrounded by sharks. Shark infest the waters.
And this is the...
try to survive.
And we're just watching the trailer.
Yes, this is just a trailer because it's a very slow movie, but Nicolas Cage was his acting was really good. There weren't any meltdowns or anything like that. He was a good actor in this movie, but the movie really picks up on the second half where he goes to trial, and that's where, you know, the movie actually gets exciting.
Yeah, because like a lot of this movie, it's like part... you know, it's like it sets up the fact that they went on a mission, then they get sunk by the Japanese sub. And like, and a lot of the movie is just them out in the ocean trying to survive amongst shark infested waters.
And a lot of like, it was not a small amount of people that died. Like
hundreds.
300 went down with the ship, which sank in 12 minutes. 890 were in the water facing all sorts of stuff. And I think a little over 300 survived.
Oh, you told me the story about the guys that were hallucinating because they were drinking salt water, right?
Yeah, like it was all their issues worse.
Talk about that real fast because that freaked me out when you told me.
Yeah, apparently, like there was some one of the survivors claimed that a bunch of these sailors started drinking the salt water, and he was like, "Guys, don't do that. It's going to make everything worse." And eventually, like it got so bad, they started hallucinating that they saw like this island underwater and wanted to just try to swim to it, and they just didn't resurface.
Oh, okay. Let's watch the trailer.
America wants this war to end, and quickly. Where's this all going?
Are you talking about the atomic bomb?
Send a message loud and clear. If it works, they're heroes.
Was that Tom Hanks?
President Truman has chosen you to lead a highly classified...
Sorry?
Was that Tom Hanks?
Was it like a brother?
It's a dollar store.
Wait, hold on. Like, get ready to like pause it.
That guy.
No.
He does look like Discount Hanks.
Okay, yeah, that's Tom Hanks if you ordered him from like Wish.com.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Super depressed, caught corona.
Oof.
Got linked to Jeffrey Epstein, got Italian citizenship. Oh!
God. Those eyes are just filled with sadness.
Oh my gosh. Okay, go ahead and play.
President Truman has chosen you to lead a highly classified mission.
Yes, sir!
Where do we pick up our escort? It is top secret. There'll be no escort.
Concerned about submarines, sir?
What are we doing here?
The Japanese are an extremely disciplined adversary, sir.
That's a damn suicide mission. Full speed ahead.
Fucking amazing.
It's actually a very good movie.
It's a highly underrated movie.
It's very good.
Was that in theaters?
I'm not sure, but it was very entertaining.
It said coming soon worldwide.
I would say, judging by the CGI from the flying planes and other stuff, probably not.
The CGI wasn't good, but the story and Nick Cage's performance was excellent.
I could forgive it, because remember Midway?
Yeah, Midway.
Midway,
the new one?
Yeah,
it was good.
It kind of gave off those vibes.
The CGI was shit in Midway, but it was an entertaining movie.
Oh, Hunter Killer. The CGI in Hunter Killer was not that good.
I haven't seen the new Midway. I just stick with the old one.
The new Midway was actually like, we went to go see it in theaters, and I was kind of like ambivalent about it, but we saw it and it was actually really good.
Yeah, apparently this I think it did release in theaters, because apparently its budget was $40 million and the box office,
how much did they make?
$2.1 million. That was a major loss.
That doesn't even cover the marketing for a movie like that.
No, it's like a 130-minute runtime, too.
Can you believe Academy Award winner Nick Cage is in these big films that make no money?
Apparently, its average rating was 3.4 out of 10.
Shit.
Oh, man.
I think the issue with this film seems like that, I don't know, maybe there was just an imbalance of where the budget went.
In my opinion, the scene with the sailor stranded stretched for a really long time, and it wasn't very entertaining. And I think that's where it lost people. But the ending with the trial was phenomenal.
It really was. It was very good.
Hey, Doyle, you still there?
You're muted, Doyle.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Would you pay to see that?
Indianapolis.
I like the history of it. So, I mean, but again, the CGI was just shit. So it's hard.
You know, I've paid for worse movies. I genuinely don't remember that in theaters. And I remember seeing a lot of movies in 2016. I would have paid to have seen that.
It was probably a small, select theaters that
had. Oh, like it was probably in theaters for like a week and then taken out.
Yeah, like it was honestly probably like not a lot of major chains might have had it for a long time. And then all the smaller theaters had it, which could be another reason why they didn't make any money back from it.
You know what's really sad? You know what's going to be the longest running film in theaters?
What?
Tenet. Because Tenet is the only new film to have been, well, there have been a couple others, but it's the only big Hollywood blockbuster to have been released during the pandemic. So because of that, they're going to actually have it in theaters until January. So it's going to have been in theaters since August, summer, January. 7 months.
Oh my God. I've heard it's good. I just haven't.
I've seen it 3 times in theaters.
I mean, do you want to go see it a fourth?
I will go see it a fourth if you want to go see it. If you want to go see it,
all right. We'll do it.
What movie? Tenet.
Oh, Tenet.
We should go see it tomorrow.
I mean, I heard they blew up an actual plane because it was cheaper than CGIing it.
Dude, it's James Bond on acid.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Yeah, but no, I would have paid to have seen this. Zed, would you recommend people watch it? Not pay for it, but at least watch it.
It's on Netflix right now. It's definitely worth a watch on the weekend if you got nothing going on.
Okay. Let's hit the next one.
All right. So this is Nick Cage's best moments from Valley Girl. This stars young Nick Cage, right, Zed?
Yeah, I think this is Nick Cage's first movie, 1983. So I think was he
Nick Cage or was he Nick Coppola?
He was Nicolas Cage in this. He was Nick Coppola in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then he was Nick Cage in this.
I totally respect why he changed his name. For those of you that don't know, the reason why is twofold. One, he didn't want to be linked to his uncle.
Yeah.
His uncle, Francis Ford Coppola, from The Godfather and my favorite film, Apocalypse Now. And he also was reading Luke Cage, Power Man, from Marvel Comics, and he liked his name so much he took it. Nick Cage, I just want to say this, Nick Cage is a nerd. He almost played Superman. He plays Spider-Man Noir, and he was Ghost Rider in 2 films. His son's name is Kal-El. I mean, that is, he wins the prize of like all-time nerd just for that alone. To make your screen name based off a character, but to name your child after Superman, you win.
And if you don't Kal-El believe...
Cage, metal name right there.
And if you don't believe that he was up for the Superman role, there are pictures all over the internet of him in tests screening with
there's a movie. Now I won't spend too much time on this, but it was going to be called Superman Lives. It was going to have Tim Allen as Brainiac. It was going to have Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. Ironically, he would be Lex Luthor in Superman Returns. And it was going to have Chris Rock as Jimmy Olsen, and it was all going to be written and directed by Kevin Smith. So if you want to spend $10 on a documentary, go look up The Death of Superman Lives on Amazon Prime. It's the whole documentary about how the film failed, and you never saw it. So It's you know, that would have been epic. Okay, so Valley Girl, first film. Yeah. Let's do it. So I never saw this.
Basically, the synopsis is Nick Cage is a guy from Hollywood, and he falls in love with a rich Valley Girl. And basically, their two friends groups don't get along because they're like different. But Nick Cage really likes this girl, and he's like, you know what, fuck society. I like this girl, so I'm going to hang out with her. And
is this a chick flick?
It's a chick flick, yeah. But you can actually, if you watch Nick Cage's performance here, you can tell that his acting from when he was like 19 has carried over into his like 50s. So
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. You be the judge.
Not making it sound good.
You decide.
All right, go ahead.
What a hunk.
There he is.
Is this points for effort? I told you this place was going to be a waste.
Yeah, this place sucks.
Whoa, pause it. Nick Cage's hair. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yep. Young Nick Cage.
Young Nick Cage is actually a very attractive person.
He looks like James Dean. Like, holy shit, I usually just see it with that, like, half-balding, like, slicked back thing, but is that his real hair?
Yeah.
How old was he?
19.
Looks like a nice...
He's 19 in this movie.
That nice feathered 80s hair.
Nick Cage.
Good for him. Or bad for him. I mean, we saw the result, but here's the thing about Nick Cage. Objectively, I'd say he's not a bad-looking guy. He's a unique-looking man.
Yeah.
And when we saw him in the last scene where he's running up, like, he's obviously extremely in shape. He's always been for most of his films. I mean, especially as he's gotten older, it's harder to stay in shape. But he looks just awkward. How tall do you think he is?
What, 5'11", maybe?
No, I'm 5'11". He looks six. Taller.
Six?
What, Doyle?
He's like 6-something.
I think you're right.
He's 6 feet.
Can we say that he's just a unique looking man?
I mean, I wouldn't say unique, honestly. Frankly, I think in his early career, he was an attractive man that just didn't age as well as others like Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is a fucking vampire. That's why.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Kind of the same thing. Although I feel like it's starting to catch up with Brad Pitt. But anyways.
Brad Pitt's pushing it. When I saw him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that was kind of a struggle.
Yeah.
Although he was showing his age.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, like, looking at him, like, no, I'd say he was, especially in his early days, a very attractive human being.
Yeah, he's an objectively good-looking man. He's just unique. I'll say that.
I think in this scene, he would have actually benefited if his hair matched his eyebrows.
No, I think whatever they're doing.
I think the color is just kind of a little off.
His character in this movie, he's supposed to be a punk rocker.
Is that why he mixed with the Valley Girls very well?
Yeah, and that's why her friends don't like him. He's like,
what's her name right there is like, I fucking him. So
yeah,
I'll just wish for something. All right, let's do it.
Hot, very hot. What? Get out of here.
Oh God! Stop real fast.
Yeah, I'm crazy. No worries.
I won't take too much time. Pause it. This looks like either a scene from Grease or The Outsiders. they all look like Doyle's lacrosse team.
Okay, but see, like, why is it always the guys in the freaking?
Hey, it's Doyle.
Shirt?
Look, it's Doyle. Oh my
God. It is Doyle. Tim.
Oh my God.
It's your dad, Doyle.
It's perfect.
It's love. Your dad.
Because I always wear polos.
Your dad punched young Nick Cage.
Okay, let's watch it. Oh, we're only 40 seconds in. I'll shut up. Sorry.
You PC, bro.
Jerk.
Are they playing Electric Avenue in the background?
Dude, we're gonna rock. Fast forward a bit.
Electric Avenue.
Where am I going?
Keep going. Keep going. All right, stop here. All right, go back.
Right here?
Yeah, right there. Right here.
All
right. This is where he loses it.
All right.
The first of many breakdowns.
Yeah, this is his first breakdown on screen. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I fucking care, man. Bam!
Este puto. Buena life.
Get out of the car, yeah, I'm bad. Get out of the fucking car, shit.
Are you bad?
Get out of the car.
I'll show you bad.
Get out of the car. Go!
Vámonos, aquí estás por...
I bet you $20 that guy is not actually Mexican.
He's sick. Go on, leave me alone. Give me that brick. I'm dying. Just put me out of my misery. Oh, bitch, is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
Oh, like, I hate you.
It's not in 3D. Have a nice flight.
Okay.
How you doing down there? All right, appears as though you forgot our french fries and our Coke.
Fish head.
Oh, well, Peter Piper picked a pepper. I guess I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's nuts.
Come on, Julie!
Don't do this.
Oh, man.
Is it a popularity contest? I doubt it.
I'm gonna give you the chance you never gave me.
One can't help but when one is honorably. When one is disciplined. When one is school spirit. Everyone can't be a king and a queen.
School boy.
No students.
Get up. What are you doing, huh? What's this? Stop!
Liza Minnelli? Pause it. You're telling me they're supposed to be 16, 17 years old? I saw the banner that said junior prom. I'm like, wait a second. This is worse than telling me that Tobey Maguire was in high school in the first Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot better than like 25-year-olds playing like 17-year-olds, at least.
In every new Netflix film, these are just normal teenagers, just like you in high school.
Yeah, 25.
No, we all didn't have 0% body fat in cars that were Chargers. No.
I don't know. I was pretty thin.
Yeah, but have you seen these new Netflix films they're putting out for teens where, like, everyone walks out and it looks like they've been, like, hitting the gym every day?
You know.
It's a whole meme online now. Google Netflix teenagers and you'll see what I'm talking about. Don't Google Netflix children. That's a whole other thing.
I'm not Googling that.
Anyway, RJ, but that's Valley Girl.
That's a whole different podcast, RJ.
If you like to see young Nick Cage in all his glory, watch Valley Girl. It's on Amazon Prime.
Was he ever homeless?
I have no idea.
I feel like he's really good. I feel like he's really good at appearing like he's been homeless.
I mean, I told you how many homes he owned.
I think that moment in this in Valley Girl where he was like, "Hand me that brick, put me out of my misery." I think that was him where he has a cry for help at 19.
Oh my gosh! What's the next one?
Yeah, the best scene in this was like, "Hey man, is this in 3D? No, but your face is."
Oh. All right, so Zed, this was your movie, right?
So this is Mom and Dad. So this is one of the shitty Nick Cage movies that came out recently. Basically, there's a new strain of coronavirus, and basically it makes parents want to kill their kids on sight, and Nicolas Cage has contracted it. So now he has to kill his kids.
Doyle, I have a quick question. If this happened to your family, do you think you'd be able to fight off your parents?
Yes, because my dad's just big and slow, and my mom, it wouldn't be that hard to, I'm just going to finish it at that.
Well, with this 30-06, you make the judge.
Yeah,
you're taking out walls while you're at it.
I think all of us would do well except for you, RJ.
No, my dad would, I would die.
Yeah, my parents would win. It's no
really. I know I'd beat my parents easily.
Block all the bathrooms so Derek doesn't have to take a shit and he would die.
Oh shit! They do the slow and steady approach.
No.
We'll just wait him out. Well, oh my god, he's dead on the floor. What's that coming out of his mouth? Vomit? No, it's shit. He literally. He held it in so long it literally came out of his mouth.
This is South Park.
It's like, no, but it'd be horrifying because when he finally dies, like, you know, you just shit yourself, like everything comes out. That would be like the Nagasaki.
Okay, so tell me if I'm wrong. Do your body shit after you die, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Like you're like it comes out. I can imagine for Derek, and Derek, I love you, so I say it's disrespect. Whereas the average person would be like, bam. Yours would be like, it's like a conveyor belt.
No,
Crohn's disease is a serious issue. Please Google it and donate to your nearest charity.
RJ, that's not how it would go. It would just be, you know, like, you know, in Attack of the Clones when Jango Fett's dropping those.
Where are you going with this?
And you know how it's just really quiet, like silent, and just then suddenly you hear an explosion? That shit would happen so fast for Derek that it like people would be covered in shit before they hear that explosion. Oh my God.
Okay, play the clip.
Had enough.
Mr. Ryan, we need to talk, sir.
Oh, do we need to talk?
And I think about how things were in my day,
Mr. Ryan.
But now, the world you kids are living in, the things you've
seen. Oh, I thought he was about to make it a race thing. Because he's talking to a black guy.
Things I only saw in magazines. Yes. Your right foot in, you take your right foot out, you do the hokey and you fucking it all out. Bright future, everything in the world to look forward to. I mean, I was gonna grab the world by the balls and squeeze, boy. God damn it, I remember that kid I used to be like with 4 fucking minutes ago. My feet barely touched the ground back then. My kill ratio was 9 out of 10. It was 100% sex. Flat on his ass. Fat, bald, cottage cheese, fucking ass. Blue bonnet, buttered waistline with hair coming out of my ears, my nose.
Your motherfucking mother should open the door.
And motherfuckers, you're going to open this motherfucking door.
And this is all because of a disease?
Mm-hmm.
Not so helpful.
Who's the chick?
His wife.
Music. Saws. All. Saws. All.
Jesus.
Mom, Dad, listen.
No!
Oh!
You fucking killed me!
Nah, bullshit.
Please don't hurt her anymore. Please.
You're a whore. Kendall's not even a real name!
I don't know what the context for that, but I totally agree with it.
Dinosaur!
Don't you know? We love you both more than anything in the whole world.
Pause it.
Sometimes we...
Wait, it's all sever.
Okay.
Keep going, it's all sever.
Sometimes we just want to...
That's how the movie ends. That's literally the ending of the movie. Just cuts to black.
That is dumb as shit.
Wait, yeah, you're saying, RJ?
Okay, I think, was it Doyle or Mullen who wanted to say something?
It was me. It looked like the guy in the yellow shirt, I think that's the grandfather, right, Zed?
Yeah, so
Nick Cage's dad.
Yeah.
But his dad is an android.
Oh, is it the same guy?
That's the guy who plays as Bishop in Aliens, I think.
No. Go to that scene, Derek.
Yeah, that's Lance Henriksen. Dude, he was in Aliens, the Terminator, and I think, was he in Predator 2?
Oh, he played the cop in Terminator.
Yeah, he was one of the cops in Terminator, and I swear he was in, it was Bill Paxton who was in Terminator, Predator, and Alien.
Wasn't Bill Paxton also? I was about to say $6 Million Man. That was Lee Majors. Bill Paxton was the guy who died a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
from heart failure. Right. Yeah. Wow.
But yeah. This is Mom and Dad.
I don't think I'm ever watching this.
But it's Nick Cage at his best. It's the whole movie is just a Nick Cage breakdown.
I just like how he's just like, guys, it's fine. Proceeds to spray his ass in the face
and stab him.
Yeah, because like they're infected too, and Nick Cage is their kid. So
I feel like this is every parent's dream, though, deep down.
What, to kill their? Oh God, that's terrible.
I feel like, you know, like just sometimes there's just one too many meltdowns. You know, it's frowned upon to spank your kid these days. So,
my mom once threw a potato at me like a Heisman.
Dang. I bet that must have been a sight to see.
I don't remember because I got hit in the face.
That's why it must have been a sight to see.
Yeah. Okay. Was that? I gotta say, Zed, of all the crazy Nick Cage. I mean, I get that he's crazy, but this one doesn't get me going. Doyle, would you watch this?
Doyle? Would you watch?
Doyle?
This movie?
I think he fell asleep.
Fell asleep.
Are you trying to look for your cat?
Doyle.
Doyle. Sean?
Doyle. Come on, guys, join the chorus.
All right.
We'll skip that. What's the next one?
Doyle's in Egypt's Land.
Mandy.
Oh, yeah. Mandy, this is how you know. Start off the bat, it's a good film.
It looks like Tim Curry from Rocky Horror Picture Show right there.
I guess there's also
okay.
go back to Mandy. Okay, Mandy. Somebody explain Mandy.
Oh boy. Okay, so basically, just a good old lumberjack and his girlfriend, partner in life. You know, just minding their own business, living in an isolated, nice life in the woods by a lake called Crystal Lake. And, you know, eventually this, I don't want to call him a Jesus freak because I can't remember if Jesus is actually mentioned. He's a cult leader and he passes by Mandy when she's walking on the way to work. And Mandy is supposed to be like Nick Cage's character's partner, girlfriend. All that stuff. They're not married, but they're together.
Okay.
And he just is basically like, I have to have her. This is destiny. And so it's this whole thing of them basically like first the cult goes and they steal his girl and they beat the shit out of him and they take her. But to do that, they first make a deal with this biker gang that looks like the Cenobites from Hellraiser that apparently you find out later took some strange form of acid that permanently changed them.
Don't do drugs, like, kids.
It was super acid of some sort. This whole movie is basically on acid, but it's honestly, it's great. And like, so they have to give him this jar full of this drug stuff that's like this super acid or whatever, that's like this jelly paste stuff. And this guy like chugs it. And then they're just like, we'll require more. And they're like, yeah, we got the sacrifice. And there's this poor blonde fat kid in the truck who has no idea that he's about to be the sacrifice for them. So then they go, beat the shit out of Nick Cage, take her back, drug her. The dude, only for this guy right here to find out, nope, she doesn't want me at all. She's just laughing at me, so we're just going to burn her alive.
You know, I think we need to watch the clip now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Just
you and that ugly little whore. You think you're so in love?
In 2018's Mandy, director Panos Cosmatos brings us an indelible horror fantasy, ostensibly a revenge plot that reveals a love story, along with a significant dose of violent insanity. Early on, the viewer observes that this is a story in which details of the plot are of less concern than the impressions made by visual and auditory elements. As we're introduced to the hostile and mysterious world in which the story is set, and the contrasted tranquility of the life built by Mandy and her man, Red Miller, the emotion and the dread arise from the experience of viewing, and in a manner that's difficult to verbalize. It's almost more like the effect of music than of story, as the monochromatic washes of color and accompanying score inform the emotional tone.
So basically, they don't talk much.
No, this is a film of not too many words and more just, like, this is really a film about raw emotion.
Cosmatos takes his time introducing the relationship between Red and Mandy. We know that this is a story that concerns her death, but this approach lets us know that the movie is named for her character for a reason. She will not serve as a mere plot device, a catalyst to motivate an action-revenge plot. The movie will, in a very real sense, be about her. The Children of the New Dawn are a cult surrounding the figure of Jeremiah, a pretty transparent charlatan and would-be messiah.
Can we pause for a second?
Mormons.
It's a product of a combination.
There's a second.
I think, so this is a, it looks like this is a review from someone. Can we get this guy's channel real quick to give him credit?
Yeah, I was sure. About to say, like, the link's there in the comments so you can.
Yeah, so shoot me reviews. Thank you for letting us use your review in fair use.
Gracias.
Yeah, he explains the movie way better than, frankly, I or anyone else could.
Is Nick Cage going to kill someone?
Probably. Dude,
yeah.
There's a scene in this that's reminiscent of, like, the opening scene to Conan the Barbarian, where he literally makes his own murder axe just to go after these people.
Can we pull up a scene?
I was trying to find a scene and I couldn't. Like, I really want it because it's an amazing scene. It's super metal and it's just, ugh.
I mean, can we pull up that other scene?
Yes.
That we
have where you the other scene is pure just Nick Cage freak out. Like,
this is the same movie.
He just got beat, like the shit beat out of him. And like Mandy was taken from him and he's pretty sure she's dead. So,
ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
Ah!
This is true. That, like, that's literally just a guy who's lost everything.
I think that's just like a normal Friday night for Nick Cage right now.
That's just a normal Friday night for 2020.
That's me in the year 2017.
Let me see if I can, like, I really want to find, like, the axe forging scene in Mandy, because it's such a great scene.
We're running kind of close on time. We'll have to.
This is a 7-minute review of someone else's. So let's go to the next one.
We're not watching that.
No, I think it'd be something to a skim.
I think I got the seeing him in his underwear. I think I got the message.
All right, well, let's move on to the next movie then.
Okay, Con Air. There's nothing you need to know about this film except he's in a airplane prison and apparently is from Tennessee. And he's been framed for a crime he did not commit, and he wants to get back to his daughter. And during this whole time, he's been holding on to a stuffed bunny that he wants to deliver to her. That's the whole film.
Wow. And here we go.
This is him at probably his worst.
Appears the United States Parole Commission that...
Put the bunny back in the box.
I knew you was a punk, and I was right. You were playing us all along. You a free man.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
And like the whole film is him just saying, I want to get back to my daughter. But like he has, it's not even a Southern accent. It's just something he just made up.
Does he ever get back to his family?
He does. And he gives them the money.
Oh, okay.
He has a happy
ending. It's a very awkward happy ending.
It's not a film you say you want to watch with people present. It's just not because it has anything inappropriate or bad. It's just like as you're watching it, you're thinking, what else could I literally be doing? A lot of things.
I mean, I think Con Air is a good film to literally drink to with friends and make fun of.
Each time he brings up wanting to get back to his daughter, you take a shot.
Oh, God, we're dead.
No, I feel like that's just a drink. And when he says put the bunny back in the box, that's
right. Definitely take a shot.
Yep. Okay, what's the next one?
Ghost Rider 2.
I feel like this is a film that a lot of people tend to forget ever existed. I was a big Ghost Rider fan. The first film in 2006 actually did 2006, 2007 actually did really well. And this is right before, this is almost right before Iron Man comes out and changes the game. And the first one was kind of corny, and I know that the studio for this one changed things up. So the whole graphics, the layout, some of the story, as they talk about the first film, was changed. And this was supposed to be the one that was the grittier Ghost Rider. This one was actually rated R. But Nick Cage, I remember he went on like Good Morning America and Oprah, and he kept telling people, you know, like I've been studying Satanism to get ready for this. Like I walk around with like, you know, face paint of a skull on, trying to get into character, and it's just an experience. Did any of you see this film?
No. I think I remember actually seeing it, but it's been forever.
Like, I've seen this. With my dad when it came out on Redbox.
And what was your impression?
It was really boring. The plot was very boring. You know, like this movie had a really low budget when all the actors and all the sets were in like Serbia.
Okay, let's watch it. This is like the first time in the film we see him beginning to transform into Ghost Rider. And I will say, The graphics are actually not bad. It's just how everything is executed, which is bad.
Yeah.
John?
You talked to Kerrigan. I talked to a lot of people. Hey, I got what you need for those shakes, my friend. Kerrigan must have told me about that thing that killed his men last night, huh?
Yeah?
That thing is inside me. See, you're a bad man. And this thing, the Ryer, he feeds on them and he's hungry. He's hungrier than he's been years, and that's why I'm shaking. Because right now, the only thing standing between you and the Ryer is me. And he's just... he's scraping at the door! Scraping at the door! All right, if you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm gonna let him out. And when he's done with you, there won't be anything left. Do you understand? Do you understand? Shake your head yes or no. Good, good girl. Where's Kerrigan? What the kid? The kid Kerrigan is! You will tell me? I would eat just thinking so! Yeah!
The quarry! For more guns, more men, is putting together a goddamn army.
I know the place.
You're not gonna mention this conversation to anyone, are you?
No.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, that was a good answer. Yeah, good
job. John!
And that's just...
You know what, though? I still think he's perfectly cast for that role.
Oh, 100%.
I would love to see Nick Cage Ghost Rider in the MCU.
Yeah, only Nick Cage could pull off this role.
I would have directed that scene a little differently, but, I mean, otherwise...
You weren't impressed by the flaming snot?
No, it was the previous scene when he's kind of, like, interrogating that guy.
As a comic nerd, I always felt like this is actually probably a more accurate description as to how Ghost Rider when Johnny Blaze turns into Ghost Rider. And to nerd out for a second, it's actually mentioned in canon that when he transforms, he feels it. Like, he feels his skin fall off his body. Whereas in the first film, it's like, you know, with the snap of a finger, he turns into Ghost Rider. Nothing, no pain, nothing. Except in the verse transformation scene in the first film. But, like, each time it's supposed to be an experience. So I get what Nick Cage is going for. It just comes off uncomfortable. And not in like a, oh, yeah, I can believe it type of thing. Just the, why did they have to do it this way type of thing.
Yeah.
All right. I think this killed the franchise.
Yeah. So
kind of a shame.
Yeah. So to kick off the finale of this podcast, we have one more clip, but it's not of any one movie. It's just general Nick Cage insanity, just him losing his shit all over the place.
2 minutes. Yeah.
My body is ready.
Just 2 minutes of Nick Cage losing his shit. I hope y'all are ready.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Harry Harana.
Nick Cage losing his shit.
Am I a fucking retard, man? Am I a fucking retard? Oh, I know what this is. You try to stop me up because of this
lazy little man you beat around.
Well, feed my fucking friends, man. Someone's trying to kill me, man. The fucking haters.
It never just goes away.
That goddamn contract is somewhere in the goddamn fucking files! Fuck! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!
shit.
I fucking know!
You ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beat until you
pissed blood?
Now, fuck you, fuck!
That ending is the best ending to a video. Like,
what was
this channel again? Can we scroll down real quick?
Jim Morrison.
I feel like we should all subscribe to him just because that montage is totally worth it.
Montage is very good. But well, I believe it was by Harry
Hanrahan.
Harry Hanrahan did this montage, and it's beautiful.
Thank you, Harry. Let's take a verdict, and Doyle is obviously off for some reason, but we'll get back to him later. Zed,
amazing.
Okay, what's up, Doyle?
I've been on.
You've been on?
Yeah.
Why didn't
I've literally
we?
Been the whole time with my mic on.
We did literally you? Did it was not hear up. You.
Did you watch the Nick Cage Lose Your Shit?
Yes, of course. I thought it was pure gold.
Okay, we'll get back to you in a second. Zed, underrated actor or overrated actor?
He is well known, and some people hate him, and some people love him.
Where do you fall?
I love him. He's my favorite actor.
Could you say a national treasure?
He is a national treasure, yes.
Derek, what's your verdict? Overrated or underrated?
I believe that he's a love him or hate him actor. I personally love him. I believe he's somewhat underrated. He's very well known, but he's underrated because I think you just have to love the way he performs and just the type of roles he plays. Like, if you can embrace chaos, Nicolas Cage is your guy. But if you can't, he's not your guy.
Embrace the chaos is the best way to describe him. Doyle, overrated or underrated?
I want to say he's underrated because, honestly, I'm going to feed off kind of what Derek was saying, because you got to love the chaos. I mean, that's just him. If you're not all about chaos, then go freaking watch Kesha's music videos or Britney Spears or something. It's just...
If you have to choose WAP over Nick Cage, get out.
Yeah.
So, honestly, underrated. He's a really good actor, and... People should, yeah, he did some really shitty movies, but he had his reasons, and he embraced his roles.
I don't think he ever phones it in. I think that's the one thing we could say.
He gives it his all.
Absolutely. And Mullen, underrated or overrated?
I'd say right now he's underrated. Back in the day, he was like an actor that kind of everyone knew and wanted in their films, but like he's unfortunately someone that everyone's forgotten. And I think he's severely underrated right now. And he deserves more attention because he is just a beautiful person with such unique acting skills.
Well, Nick Cage, if you're out there and you ever get a chance to listen to this, we love you.
We love you, Nick Cage. Keep making movies.
Keep being you. As always, thank you, Zed. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Doyle. And thank you, Mullen. We're happy to have you on again as part of the Degenerate panel. Folks, it costs you nothing but means everything to me. A 5-star rating and review on iTunes lets people know you'll love this. If you want to see the video version of this episode, as long as YouTube doesn't want to take it down for copyright reasons, you'll be able to watch this over at the We Are Libertarians Patreon. It supports me and all the other hosts of the network. As always, thank you so much. Uncage your inner Nick Cage. You're listening to On the Run. I'm Remsen W. Martinez. Good night, America.
Check out our other shows and more from the We Are Libertarians Network at wearelibertarians.com.